Well, let me invite you to get your Bibles out, and we're going to turn to a number of passages of Scripture tonight, because tonight and next Sunday night, I'm going to do first of a two-part series on prayer, and going to be dealing with this simple subject, the person who has answers to prayer. Now, if I ask you this question, when it comes to prayer, do you have answers to prayer? Can you say you have answers to prayer, or can you say, Pastor, it's sort of like a wish shot in basketball. I put my prayers up. It's sort of like mid-court, about 5 seconds left or 3 seconds left, and I don't know if I'm going to have an answer yes or no or wait. I just really don't know what God is going to do. And the truth about it is there's a lot of people who pray that way. There's a lot of people who pray when it comes to praying. They don't really have any sense of certainty and surety when it comes to their praying, and so it's sort of like a wish shot. And yet that's not the way our Heavenly Father wants us to pray. That's not the way He desires us to pray. As a matter of fact, whenever you read Jesus speaking on prayer, number one, Jesus never uttered a word about unanswered prayer. I don't know if you ever knew that or not, but you go all throughout the New Testament and Jesus never says a single word about unanswered prayer. It's simply not in the Bible. You can't find that in the New Testament. Jesus never refers to unanswered prayer. Now, I know many times in my own life, and you probably said it in yourself, well, you know, there have been times that my prayers have been unanswered. Are you sure about that? Are you really sure your prayer's not been answered, or has your prayer been answered in a way that you don't like and you wish it was answered another way? And so we say, well, my prayer wasn't answered, and so we easily convince ourselves. And so, but tonight I want to look at the person who has answers to prayer. And I want you to take your Bible, and we're going to turn to a number of passages of Scripture, because it's one thing to pray, but another thing to pray with certainty and surety that when you pray, you're heard by the Father. And tonight I'm going to give you three basic guiding principles that will lead you into effective praying as you pray each and every day of your life. But I want you to keep your finger in Scripture, because we're going to turn to a number of places. But let's begin in Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. And we're going to move from place to place. And we're going to look at different places and different situations where there was answers to prayer. The first one is Abraham, who is praying. He's praying for Abimelech, and he's praying for his wife. They were unable to have children. And this is simply what Genesis chapter 20, verse 17 says. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. And if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 9, just want you to follow along with these passages, because what I want you to see is how different ones have prayed and how they have heard and had answers from God. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 19, Moses is praying to God. Listen to what Moses says. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure, verse 19, hot displeasure, wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have him destroyed. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. But when you listen to Moses, and here's what Moses said, I prayed to God and God listened to me. Could you be one that says, I prayed to God and God listened to me? I talked to the Father and the Father listens to me. Well, the truth is, God does listen to you and He does listen to me. But if you'll flip over to another book, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, this is simply a prayer of Hannah. She's praying for a child. She's been childless. You remember the story. Hannah was Elkanah's wife, and she had no children. She was born with the ability to bear children. And she had been praying to God for a child. And listen to this prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. Now that's specific. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now I want you to turn over to the New Testament. Turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and I want you to look in verses 36 through 40. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 40. What I'm doing is just giving you different people in different situations in their life in which there was no way that the answer would come unless God did intervene. There was no way the prayer was going to be answered. But these individuals prayed, and they prayed to God, and you'll find what happened. Now, this is a very challenging one and a very sobering. Now, there was at Joppa, Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 40. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he came, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. In other words, all the pretty things she had made while she was alive. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and listened to his prayer and prayed and turned unto him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Literally a resurrection situation. Now, James chapter 5, verse 17. Turn over to one more passage of Scripture. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, James chapter 5, verse 17. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, I've given you all of these, beginning with the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament. Number one, to let you know that prayer is an invariable law, that it never alters. The reality is the laws of prayer never alter. They have lasted for thousands of years, and they're going to last, and they'll continue to last. But the reality of it is, a lot of times when it comes to our praying, you know, we get disheartened, we get discouraged. But I'm going to give you some guiding principles that will aid you and help you in your personal prayer life to have answers to prayer, because here's the reality of it. God has made it clear in His Word that He wants you and me to know that, and He wants us to have answers to prayer. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, He says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. God never plays at pretend. God never plays at make-believe. God is always serious, and God is always pointed, God is always candid, and God is always specific. In other words, when God says, ask, and it will be given to you, seek, and you'll find, knock, and it will be opened unto you, God isn't saying, just think about something, just be general. He means for you and me to be very specific. And in every one of these cases that we just looked at in Scripture, every one of them was specific. All through the Bible, there's a type of person who doesn't just have casual answers to prayer, but who has specific answers to prayer on a regular, consistent basis. You know, the Bible makes it clear, Abraham prayed for Abimelech, he was healed. Moses prayed on behalf of Israel, and they were spared. Hannah prayed for a child to give to the Lord, and the Bible says that she prayed for a man child, and the Bible says that's exactly what she got. And she had a little boy by the name of Samuel. Elisha prayed that those attacking would see horses of fire and chariots of fire in 2 Kings chapter 6, and that's exactly what happened. Hezekiah was sick. to the point of death in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And the Bible says that he prayed and God answered his prayer and gave him additional years of life. You know, Jonah prayed from inside the belly of the fish. You remember his prayer? There was no way he was going to get out. Listen, you can't convince a whale to let you out. I mean, but the Bible makes it clear in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, that Jonah prayed and God heard and God answered. In Acts chapter 9, what I just read a few moments ago, Peter prayed and Dorcas, as she lay dead, and God heard and answered. Now, I say all that to say this. Our God is a consistently active God. God has not stopped when it comes to answering prayer. But there are some things that have happened in the life of people and in the life of Christians as to why they don't have answers anymore. And I'm not going to give you this one to put down, but one of the real reasons why we don't have answers to prayer anymore is we don't pray anymore. When was the last time you was real specific with God, or you got to in a private place, you got alone with God, and you opened your heart to God about some real specific need? Oftentimes, we as Christians are sort of like that lady who she was having some trials and some tribulations, and she went to the preacher, and he said, "Let's pray about it." And she said, "You think it's that bad?" And really, we do have that mental concept, and it happens to us, it happens in us, and so we face that from time to time. But I want you to jot down these three guiding principles that if you will allow yourselves to listen carefully, to believe these thoroughly, they will absolutely change your life, and they'll change your thinking, and they'll change your living. First and foremost, those saints who carry the greatest weight with God find no limitation when it comes to asking. Those saints who carry a great weight with God find no limitation when it comes to asking in prayer. Now, if you'll look back very carefully, when Peter was praying over the dead body of Dorcas, let me ask you a question. What do you think would have happened if Peter would have said, "You know what, I don't think anything's going to happen here"? Peter knew because he had seen Jesus at work. Peter knew because he had seen his master. And so as Peter watched Jesus at work, here's what he knew. He heard the words of Jesus. He believed the words of Jesus. And Jesus said these words, "If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe." Amen? All things. What is impossible in prayer? The only thing impossible in prayer is that thing that's impossible to a holy God. And that's why Satan bombards us, because here's what he knows. He can't keep God from answering. So what he does is he keeps us from praying. Or he tries to keep us from asking and tries to keep us from praying specifically. Peter had seen Jesus do so many things. He had seen him perform many mighty works. And as God led him to pray over the dead body of Dorcas, here's what Peter was fully convinced that she would be raised, because it initiated with God. Now listen carefully. In the heart of Peter, in the spirit of Peter, there was no disbelief that this could not happen. How do you know? Because the Bible says in James that if there is disbelief, we're tossed about. You know, you're sort of tossed about like a wave on the sea. And so, you know, Scripture makes it very clear. If you don't mind, I'm going to turn this off because it's bothering me.